Welcome to the Akigawa Baptist Church Sermon Podcast. We hope this resource will help you in your walk with Jesus as you grow more and more into His image. For more information about Akigawa Baptist Church, please visit akigawabc.com. Now, enjoy the sermon.
Today, we're going to be looking at the topic, I was blind, but now I see. It's an interesting thing. Have you ever met somebody that had been so drastically, that they had changed so drastically that you didn't recognize them at first? Like maybe somebody lost weight or something, or maybe one of the kids got bigger, you know, and you're like, and you hadn't seen them for years. That happens to us a lot of times when we go back to the States, you know, we haven't been there for like 2, 3, 4 years, you know, and these kids that are becoming teenagers and you're like, and they come up to you, hey, Steve, how's it going? And like, who are you? You know, and you're like, oh, you're, oh, wow, you've changed so much. And he's like, you didn't even recognize who they were, right? That happens sometimes. Today, we're going to meet a man who had literally changed so much that people had no idea who he was. They were like, can this be that guy? We're going to discover that his change that happened to him was so drastic that he was actually accused by the city leaders of being a liar. That's a pretty drastic change. Let's look at what we are talking about. Our story actually continues from last week. Do you remember last week? Where the blind man, Jesus healed the blind man, put mud on his eyes, and then tell him to go wash his eyes in the pool of Siloam. So he makes his way over to the pool of Siloam and starts washing in his eyes. And miracle of miracles, he starts being able to see again. It was massive, massive miracle. That moment, that light shined into his eyes and he was able to see clearly. Can you imagine just all this time people have been talking, oh, that's so pretty. Oh, look at those trees. Oh, they're so pretty. Look at those flowers blooming. And you hear about it. You hear about it all the time. But now you get to see it for yourself. This is one of the, I think this is such an interesting aspect of what it means to trust Jesus. You hear people talking about who Jesus is and what it means to walk and follow Jesus and all of the ways that you find peace and joy and contentment and all of these and hope. And you hear about these guys who are going through that and you're like, I want that. I want that in my life. And then when you trust Jesus and then that moment you trust in him begins your journey of seeing, of experiencing what other people have been talking about all this time. You get to experience that. This is physically what this man got to enjoy for the first time. John 9, verse 7. This is how it starts. John chapter 9, verse 7. And said unto him, Jesus said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. Amazing. The only reason this man could see was because Jesus came to him where he was. Think about that for a second. This man received sight first because Jesus was willing to come to him. Of all the people, there were a ton of beggars, but for some reason, Jesus stopped in front of him and focused on him. Amazing. If Jesus had not come to him, he would have been sitting there for the rest of his life, begging, not being able to see. But because Jesus came to him, he was healed. But also because he chose to listen to what Jesus told him. He chose to listen to Jesus' words. This is really interesting. If you look through the Bible, there are many times when Jesus tells someone who he's about to heal to do something, an act of faith. Sometimes he tells a guy whose daughter is sick, I want you to go home. And by faith, he leaves Jesus and goes home to discover that Jesus healed his daughter. In this case, Jesus tells the man, I want you to go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. It was an act of faith. It was choosing. And Jesus is giving him a chance to put his faith into action by doing something in response to Jesus' words. And if you look through the Bible, you'll be really surprised to see that aspect of Jesus performing miracles. He says, I want you to do this. Then when they do it, they're blown away. Jesus comes to us. And he gives us light, and we respond to that light by trusting in him, by faith. You know how the Bible talks about sometimes, like in the, I think, what was it, Nazareth, or I think it was, where Jesus said, the Bible talks about how Jesus didn't do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. I have no doubt that Jesus probably said, I want you to do this. If you do this, you'll be healed. Whatever. Maybe I don't want to do it. Everybody else is looking at me. I just don't want that part. I don't want to be part of that. The power was there, but the faith wasn't. He didn't do many miracles because of their lack of faith. It's really interesting how you follow Jesus. He will put you in places to give you a chance to respond to his words by actions of faith. For this man, Jesus told him to go to the pool of Siloam. He needed to trust Jesus enough to make the steps to get to the pool. This is amazing. This man trusted Jesus enough to do what he said. And because he did, Jesus changed his life. He helped him to see things he could never have seen in his own strength. Jesus made him to be able to see. And in the same way that this is true for this man's life and his life was changed, this is also true for us. Jesus comes to where we are. He comes to where we are in our lives. He comes to us to offer us to open not just the sight of our eyes, but the sight of our heart. Spiritual sight. And when we trust Jesus enough to do what he says, which is simply to be willing to accept what he shows us about our hearts, and then choose to respond to him by putting our faith in him, then this is true if you're a Christian or not a Christian. Faith doesn't change. It's always when you trust in Jesus to save you, when Jesus reveals in your heart, oh man, I'm not as good as I thought I was. I am a sinner before God. My sins, my heart is filthy. I need to be cleansed. And Jesus is the one who cleanses me and forgives me. And you trust in him to do just that. That is literally not the only time of faith. That is the beginning of your walk of faith in Jesus, where he continues to reveal more and more about yourself and more of your need for him and more of you learning to trust in Jesus. It's amazing. When you choose to respond by putting your faith in him, he helps you to see things you would have never seen in your own strength. So, this man has been given sight. What an amazing thing, right? Now you see, what would you do if you were him? Oh man, I got to go back to that street where I was begging, and now I got to sit down and I got to close my eyes now and say, I can't see, right? No, you're not going to go back there. You don't have to. You don't have to be a beggar anymore. You know what he did? He went home. He went home. I want to see my mom and dad. My mom, I've never seen him. I've never seen my family. I want to see them. I can just imagine you're going home and it's like, oh, what should I do? I'm going to pretend I'm blind still. You know, I can just imagine him like going back, like, I can't see, you know, I can't see. Oh, that's what mom and dad look like. Oh, very cool. You know, but eventually it's going to come out, you know? And man, when it came out, the whole neighborhood exploded with the news that this man who was blind can now see. And this is where we're talking about that unrecognizability of the man, that he had changed so much that they didn't know who he was. They're like, is that Jimmy? That's not Jimmy. Man, he looks just like him. But Jimmy's blind. This guy's not blind. This can't be Jimmy. He looks just like him. But no, I think it really is Jimmy. Are you sure? No, I'm positive. I'm pretty sure. You know, this whole conflict of like, is it or is it not, you know? And this is what John chapter 8 talks about. John 9 verse 8, the neighbors therefore, and they which therefore had seen him that was blind said, is not this he that sat and begged? Verse 9, some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. I am Jimmy. You know, I'm assuming that's Jimmy's name. You know, in the Hebrew, Jimmy's a pretty common name, you know. And so, I am he. Verse 10, the big question. Therefore said they unto him, how were thine eyes open? What in the world happened? How are you able to see? They weren't sure what to think. So the question is, what happened? What happened, Jimmy? How can you see? And his answer is pretty simple. It's just pretty straightforward. Verse 11, he says, he answered and said, a man that is called Jesus made clay, and he anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went. It takes a while to get to the next part. And washed. Then said they unto him, or I went and washed. Let me pause right there. I'm sorry. And I received sight. We'll go back to this part. He's literally just telling him what he experienced, right? This guy came to me. His name, everybody called him Jesus. I don't know who he is. He came to me and he told me to do this and I did it and now I can see. I just went and washed it off. I don't know how he did it. I don't know why he did it. I just know that I did what he told me to do, and now I can see. You know, that's really interesting because this is a lot of how we share our testimony with those around us. You may not understand how Jesus changed your heart. Like the nitty-gritty stuff. You know, like the people that like Bible, people who love to study the Bible and like pastors and Bible, like people like me, you know, they're like, oh, well, in the first place, this is how it happened. You know, you may not know that, and that's okay. You may not know why Jesus did it. All you may know is you did what Jesus said and he changed you. Jesus said, I'm a sinner, that my heart is not clean as I think it is. And I realized that, and he said that he would forgive me if I put my trust in him. And so I did. And he forgave me. And I have peace. How do I have this peace? I don't know, but I have it. My heart is literally being changed. Things that I used to not be able to understand, I'm seeing now for the first time. It's like a new perspective of life, of my life that I never recognized before. And it's literally changing me, but I don't know why and I don't know how, but it is. And that's amazing. That's powerful. It's amazing. You know what happened to the neighbors when they heard his simple but powerful testimony? Verse 12, we saw it. They said unto him, where is he? You know, when you tell people about Jesus, just what you're living through, the things that you experience, the change, it's going to make others want to meet him too. Just like him. Where is he? The problem? I don't know where he's at. Well, this makes sense because the last time he met him, he was blind. He doesn't know what this guy looks like, Jesus. He's like, man, I would love to tell you. I would love to see him, but I've never met him. I met him, but I've never seen him. I was blind, so I don't even know what he looks like. Well, this was a situation. So here are his neighbors. They're trying to make sense of all of this. Jimmy can see. A man born blind is able to see. This is definitely a miracle. What is going on with this miracle? Because we don't know what's going on. Maybe our leaders, maybe our religious leaders, maybe if we go talk to the, go to the synagogue and ask our religious leaders, maybe they have an idea of why Jimmy can see now. Let's go ask them. So they go and bring Jimmy and say, hey, Jimmy can see. What happened? What can we learn from this? Do you guys have any thoughts about what happened with Jimmy? So they go and take him to the Pharisees, and they're all like, you know, what are they going to tell us? And they're quite surprised to hear what the Pharisees have to say about Jimmy. Verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees him that before time was blind. I don't think they had any ill will. They're shocked. They're surprised. They don't know what to make of it. They're like, maybe our leaders know. Let's take him over there. So they did. And then John makes this little statement here. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. In verse 15, then again, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said unto them, basically the same thing he told his neighbors. He put clay on my eyes. I washed and I see. John thankfully shortened it for us. I'm sure that Jimmy put in a little bit more than that, but this is an interesting situation we have here. Now it's the Pharisees' turn. How is it possible for this guy to see? So they ask him what he asks, and his neighbors ask him, and he tells them. And now it's interesting that John tells us, kind of almost like a side note, oh, by the way, it was the Sabbath. It's not the main aspect of the story. It's like a side note. It's not the main aspect of what John is telling us. Man was born blind from birth and in one moment is able to see clearly for the first time in his life. This is the main story, but for the Pharisees, they get hung up on that side note. The magnitude of the miracle fades in comparison to the fact that it was done on the Sabbath. You see, the Pharisees had taken God's simple command of resting on the Sabbath and taking that day to rest and worship God. And they had convoluted it. They had perverted it to the point where it was an absolute legal nightmare to figure out what you could or couldn't do on this Sabbath. They threw in this rule. They threw in that rule. They threw in another, like a curveball rule. They threw in a slider rule. I mean, it was just all over the place. If you were standing on the batter's box on Sabbath, you didn't know whether to swing or bunt. I mean, it was crazy. This is where these people are, and they had made all these rules, and they were so obsessed with the rules of the Sabbath, so how complex it was, that this is where the Pharisees' vision got stuck. Uh-oh. He did what? He did a miracle on the Sabbath? Uh-oh. They could not see past the fact that this man called Jesus broke their rules. Again and again, he did it too. Over and over. And it was probably pretty frustrating to him. So they're like, oh, the miracle? Oh, that's great. Yeah, okay, we'll get to that later, but let's talk about this Sabbath situation first. And this is what they do. Verse 16, they have a massive discussion among themselves. Therefore, said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. They didn't know what to think. See, they had assumed that Jesus was not from God because he did not keep their rules. They had assumed that their rules were part of God's law. They said, we made these rules. They're part of God's law. They added their rules to God's law. Well, they didn't realize Jesus was perfectly keeping God's law, but he was not keeping their man-made mess of God's law. And so because they have this mistaken assumption of who Jesus should be, they totally overlooked who Jesus was. And that's really interesting and really important. It's very easy for us to make the assumption of who Jesus should be in our own perspective and totally miss who Jesus really is. You let your perspective, your man-made perspective of who Jesus should be, overrule the reality of who Jesus actually is. And in doing so, you miss the magnitude, the majesty of the King of Kings in your life. Don't do what the Pharisees did. Don't assume that Jesus should be according to your cookie cutter image of who he should be. Don't do that. So, what do they do? Verse 17, they can't figure it out themselves, so they go to the guy again, Jimmy. They say unto the blind man again, what sayest thou of him, that he hath opened thine eyes? He said, he's a prophet. What do you think of this man, Jimmy? I mean, after all, it was your eyes that he opened. You probably have a better assessment of him than we do. What do you think? This man has no doubt that Jesus is from God. He doesn't really care too much about their Sabbath rules. He's like, oh, you know, you guys can figure that out. What's interesting is he doesn't see Jesus clearly just yet. He doesn't see Jesus as the Messiah, but what he has seen, I mean, he hasn't actually seen Jesus yet, but what he has experienced of Jesus has clearly turned him into the right direction. It's still fuzzy. It's not crisply clear. I don't know if that makes sense. Thanks, man. It's not crisply clear. It's not clear, but it's getting there. He doesn't see clearly who Jesus is yet, but his spiritual sight is getting clearer and clearer. The Pharisees, though, they are still blind. They do not believe what this man says. Verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. So they don't believe him. Verse 19. And they asked them, the parents, saying, is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see? Clearly, the testimony of the man was not enough in their eyes. So now they're wondering, well, wait a sec. How do we know this guy was actually blind in the first place? Maybe he wasn't. And so they bring in their parents. Maybe we should really make sure that he was blind from birth. They call the parents and, hey, is this your son? Was he really born blind? If he was, how do you explain his sight? These poor parents. Verse 20. His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. Verse 21. But by what means he now seeth? We know not. Or who hath opened his eyes? We know not. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak for himself. Verse 22. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. Verse 23. Therefore, said his parents, he is of age, ask him. These parents were scared to death. I mean, one wrong answer and they're kicked out. I mean, socially speaking, that is a horrible, horrible place to be. Being kicked out of the synagogue is like, you're socially done, right? It's social suicide. They're in a tough spot. And so they answer the best way they can to keep themselves out of trouble. Yes. This is our son. And yes, he was definitely born blind. As for how he sees, who did it, we can't tell you that. He's a big boy. You go ahead and ask him. Talking about throwing your kid under the bus. That poor guy, man. He's like, I thought you loved me. But here's what's interesting is For the Pharisees, this puts the Pharisees in a tough spot because their testimony, two witnesses are verifying that one, this is their son, and two, that he was born blind. They are literally verifying and confirming that he was blind from birth, and they cannot deny it. They are verifying the aspect of the miracle. The miracle cannot be denied. Right. But they're still not willing to accept that Jesus really is from God. It's the last thing they want. So they go back to the man again. He's got to be hiding something about Jesus. 24. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto them, give God the praise. We know that this man is a sinner. Give God the praise is an interesting phrase, isn't it? Have you ever wondered why in the world they said that? Give God the praise. It actually comes from the book of Joshua. From Joshua. Do you remember right after the Israelites were getting ready to go into the promised land and they destroyed Jericho, and then they went to Ai, and then they were defeated by the little town of Ai? Then God said, well, there's somebody who has sinned among your people. And so they cast lots, and the lots came to Achan. Joshua says this to Achan in Joshua chapter 7, verse 19. He says this, and Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him, and tell me now what thou hast done. Hide it not from me. They're repeating a very interesting phrase, basically saying, you're busted. You might as well give glory to God and confess what you have hidden. This is what Joshua said to Achan. Look, I mean, the Urim and the Thummim, the casting of lots that they did back in Israel's early days, they clearly tell that you are the one who sinned. It's over. You might as well give God the glory for what he has done. And reveal your sin, right? And they're taking that and they're borrowing that phrase and now trying to apply it to Jimmy. Come on, give God the praise. We know that this guy's a sinner. What are you hiding? You're busted. The man's answer is simple but powerful. He answered and said, whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Whether he's a sinner or not, you guys can figure it out. But what I know is that I was blind, and now I see. This is the starting point of his faith in Jesus. Jesus rescued him from walking in darkness by giving him the light of life. Jesus had come to him where he was, blind and helpless, and he gave him the gift of sight, and now he is walking as a man who has been given sight. Next week, we're going to see the final stage of his progress of going from physical blindness to sight to spiritual blindness, to seeing clearly who Jesus is. We get to look at that next week. But for this week, we know that even though all of the other people, all of these religious leaders doubted him and challenged him, he was like, I don't care what you guys say. I know what happened to me. I know what happened to me. And he lives in confidence of that. In your life, Jesus reveals himself to you as well. Whether you are a Christian or not, just like this man, be willing to trust him in what he reveals. He will reveal things. He is the light of the world that doesn't change, regardless of who you are. The more you spend time with Jesus, the more he will reveal about himself and about yourself. Be willing to face that because it will change you. things that you could not see before, things that you were blind to, if you're willing to trust Jesus enough to let him reveal those things in your life, he will change you. And it will be a good change. It will be a good change. Risk that. That's what trust is all about. Taking the risk of letting him reveal things in your heart that you may not want him to reveal so that he can change you. So that you can see that you are blind in that area. So that he can give sight to you. But not only sight, he can restore you, forgive you, and cleanse you, and make you whole again. This is the power of Jesus. And he does it by giving you a chance to respond to what he reveals in your life. And you too in your life will be a continual life of seeing how in one area you may have been blind, but Jesus gives you sight and you respond to that. And you live in confidence of that. So this week, take time to just thank God for the things he's already revealed to you. And trust him when he decides to reveal something else to you. Face it. Trust him and respond in faith. And in so doing, your sight will be made whole as well in all different areas of your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for letting us see the story of this blind man. The story of this man is amazing. So much we can see from it. When we sing the song Amazing Grace, we come to that phrase, was blind, but now I see. And through this man's story, we see the magnitude of what that phrase means. Lord, help us to respond like this man, to be willing to trust you, to be willing to act in faith in the things that you tell us to do so that we can see a massive change in our lives as well. Father, thank you for sending your son to us. Jesus, thank you for being willing to come to us where we are, to rescue us, to redeem us, to give us hope. And to change us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.